But it didn't affect the kids in the way you think it did. They didn't see you as being aggressive. What they saw was their uncle standing up for them. For better or worse, they now know you have their back.
I want Captain Crunch, Riley demanded of Kyle.
Nope, I'm sorry, that's not a dinner cereal, he replied, taking the box out of my nephew's hands and putting it at the top of the cupboard.
That's not a dinner cereal, Riley mimicked.
That's not a dinner cereal, Kyle mimicked back.
You can't tell me what to do, Riley whined.
You can't tell me what to do, Kyle whined right back. As we re-entered the room, Jake stepped between the two. This pre-adolescent pissing match could go on all day without proper intervention. Okay, enough, Riley, he said. And no cereal for dinner. We may be amateurs, but your Eddie Casey and I still have some common sense. Catering has food for us. Go get ready, and we'll leave in a few minutes.
The kids just stood there staring up at him. Jake looked to me, perplexed, then back at the kids.
What?
He asked.
We're ready.
You don't have to, like, brush your hair or change clothes or anything?
We're kids,
Sydney said in a snooty tone, lifting her arms in exasperation.
I thought you said you had common sense.
Kyle burst out laughing until he caught sight of our disapproving glares.
Well, she has you on that one, he said under his breath.
Now I stepped into the fray.
You know what, Sid?
I don't like that attitude.
You might have been able to walk all over us on the plane, but that was only because we were just getting our sea legs. Now that Jake and I know how you operate, we're not going to let you take advantage of us anymore. Got it?
Sydney glanced between the two of us, no doubt trying to determine how much control she could relinquish without selling her soul.
Finally, she folded her arms in front of her and said, I'm sorry. It wasn't exactly a sincere apology, but it was the most she'd offered since I'd been around her all week, so I was inclined to take it. I gave her a quick hug. Now, go brush your hair.
Riley looked up at Kyle, his face scrunched in confusion.
Sea legs? Were we on a boat?
Kyle just shrugged his shoulders as if he, too, were baffled by the analogy. Yeah, maybe he hadn't been the best choice in babysitters. Riley didn't make it past the third song before he slid to the floor and fell asleep on my foot. No joke. I looked down, and he was out. Too bad sleep wasn't that easy for the rest of us. I had to get him back to the bus, and I knew instinctively Sydney would not go willingly. My stomach did a little punch-in-the-gut number at just the thought of the confrontation that was sure to follow. In fact, by the time it was over, Riley would probably be wide awake again and bouncing off the walls for the rest of the night. For the umpteenth time that day, I felt wholly unqualified to be calling myself their caregiver. As evidenced by the flight this afternoon, I was no mother. I could barely be called an acceptable babysitter. Sydney and Riley deserved better. But unfortunately, they weren't going to get it, because when you draw the short end of the stick in life, you just had to learn to make do.
Stop procrastinating.
It was time to deliver the news. My hands broke out in a sweat, and I swallowed the lump in my throat. It was best just to get this over with. I looked to Sid and opened my mouth to speak, but something in her demeanor stopped me. It wasn't how engrossed she was in the concert, or the way she was watching Jake's every move with unblinking fascination. No, it was that peculiar little smile on her face. Wait a minute. I knew that look. That wasn't just pride in her uncle. Oh, no. Like millions of girls the world over, little Sydney Caldwell had a crush. On my husband. 10. She was 10 years old, and when I say 10, I'm talking she just turned that number. A few months ago, she was still in the single digits. This was not good. Why hadn't I seen this before? Had I just not been paying attention, or was it a recent thing? I was going to have to tread lightly here. The last thing I wanted to do was squash her spirit, because if there was one thing I was certain of, it was that my niece couldn't take any more heartbreak.
Casey?
Sid interrupted my mini panic attack by pulling on my hand. She looked up at me with tired brown eyes, and like I had been many times since the death of her mother and father, I was struck by the change in this little girl. She used to sparkle all the time, but now it seemed as if a filter had been put in place to dull and subdue her. Yeah, sweetie?
Riley needs to sleep. She pointed down to my feet.
You think? I grinned. The kid was now sprawled out on the floor, the noise-canceling earpieces doing their job beautifully.
I know you're enjoying the show, but... She shook her head. I want to go.
You do?
Tears pooled in her eyes. Sid frowned and wiped them away with her sleeve.
Are you okay? I asked, hugging her to me. What's wrong?
Then came the downward flow as she broke into sobs. I stood there unprepared and helpless. What had I been thinking, bringing her here? She clearly wasn't ready to leave the safety of her grandparents. Holding her to me tightly, I grabbed my phone and dialed. He answered on two rings.
Kyle, I need you.
Kyle gently placed Riley in the bunk bed as I extracted the earplugs.
You sure that's a good idea?
Kyle whispered, glancing over at Sydney, who was still sniffling and blowing her nose.
The earplugs seem like keepers.
Honestly, I don't know. I'm not doing a good job with these kids. I think I made a mistake bringing them here, I said, tucking Riley in and covering him with a blanket.
You're doing fine. Can I give you a suggestion?
Please.
Don't dwell on her tears. Don't even mention them. Some people prefer to suffer alone. Sydney strikes me as one of them.
But she's so young. Shouldn't I try to get her to talk to me? Find out why she's crying?
You already know why. Her parents are dead. Nothing you say or do is going to change that.
Are you suggesting I just ignore it altogether?
No. Let her know she can come to you, but don't push her. She's proud. Crying pisses her off. If you highlight it or make a big deal out of it, you'll only alienate her more.
Huh. Okay. Do you have a psychology degree or something?
No. I speak from experience.
A quick snapshot of pain flashed across his face. It was a rare moment of raw honesty from him. Kyle preferred to hide behind his smile and a truckload of jokes, but under it all was a sensitive guy who had more skeletons in his closet than most. After what he'd just told me, I had to wonder how much suffering he'd done in silence. Grabbing his hand, I squeezed. Thank you.
No problem. If you need help with them, I don't mind. I like having conversations with kids. Grown-ups never ask me what my third favorite dinosaur is. Besides, it'll get me out of the scut work. Vadim always puts me on the shittiest detail just because he can.
You should tell Jake.
No. And you won't either. I already have one strike against me with the other guys for being Jake's brother, but if they think I'm running home to tell my mommy every time they're mean to me, yeah, not good.
Ooh, I winced. I see your point. Never mind. Go back to scrubbing toilets.
I will. Thank you.
So? I said, a sickly sweet smile forming on my face. He picked up immediately on the tease and mimicked my lovesick grin and sing-song voice.
So what?
When is Kenzie coming?
You already know she's coming next Friday.
I just want to hear you say it. You always get that goofy look on your face.
That's just my face. I'm naturally goofy.
Ah, I see. I grabbed Kyle's jaw and shook it. There it is, that smile. You love her and don't try to deny it.
I'm not trying to deny it. I tell her all the time.
So? I tried again. I had intel on a certain subject straight from the source, Kenzie, and I wanted confirmation. Kyle raised his eyebrows.
So what?
I know you're going to propose, I blurted out. He didn't even blink at my extortion attempt.
You don't know shit, Casey. I know how you operate. You're using fake news to get me to confess to something that doesn't exist.
Okay, deny it. I don't care.
Yes, you do. Look at you all a quiver. He laughed. You can barely contain yourself.
Fine. Yes, I'm excited.
What makes you think I'm going to propose?
He asked, more interested in my answer than he was trying to let on. Gee, Kyle. Maybe it's because you were asking my opinion on what her ring size might be. I just naturally deduced from there. Plus, Kenzie keeps talking about it. Apparently, you asked her the same question.
And she took that to mean I was going to propose?
He asked, seemingly surprised that any girl would come to such a preposterous conclusion.
Yeah. Of course. Why wouldn't she?
Kyle appeared stumped by that one. I could almost see the wheels turning in his head.
What if I were just getting her a skull ring or something?
Then you might want to duck after giving it to her, because that's not at all what she'll be expecting.
Great,
he mumbled, suddenly distracted by the wall. Wait, you didn't actually get her a skull ring, did you? Kyle didn't answer my question. Instead, he headed for the door.
Good night, Casey.
I followed behind him right on his heels. Because if you were actually thinking of proposing, you could always employ my services, which, I might add, are free of charge.
Oh, I'm sure they are, he said.
Thankfully, he accepted my meddling ways with amusement.
Anyway, it's been fun, Casey, but I've got to get back, or Vadim will kill me in my sleep. Remember what I said about Sydney. You're going for I'm there for you, not let me smother you in my love.
Got it. Thank you, Kyle. I can always count on you. And, you know, I winked in his direction. You can always count on me. Wink, wink. He shook his head, smiling as he purposely avoided responding to my goading. Kyle grabbed a Kleenex out of the box on the kitchen counter before walking over to Sydney and dropping it in her lap.
How do you make a tissue dance?
He asked. I don't know, she said, looking up at him.
Put a little boogie in it.
Sydney wiped the last of her tears away and laughed.
See you, Sid.
Bye, weirdo. He caught her insult in his hand and pressed it to his heart, as if it meant the world to him. Sydney and I both giggled.
Good night, ladies.
He stepped out of the bus, but then popped his head back in and with a sly smile on his face said,
Oh, and by the way, Casey, your services may be requested somewhere down the line.
I threw my arms in the air and had them perform a little silent boogie of their own.
What was that all about? Sydney asked, once he'd left.
Just a little inside joke.
Oh, he's funny. I like him.
Me too, I said, tucking a strand of hair behind her ear. Are you ready for bed? Sid eyed me skeptically.
You're not going to ask me why I was crying?
Do you want me to?
Nope.
Okay, then let's get ready for bed. She dragged her feet, but eventually I did convince her to put on pajamas and brush her teeth. Sydney climbed up into the top bunk. Earlier in the day, she and Riley had fought viciously over the coveted spot, but in the end, she'd pulled rank over her little brother and claimed it for herself. I felt for Riley. Being the youngest myself, I couldn't have even dreamed of getting the top bunk back in the day. When we went on family vacations, I was lucky if I got the cushions off the couch. I spent extra time folding the blankets and sheets over my little niece, hoping to swaddle her in comfort. Her life was so hard now. Anything I could do to lessen the blow was at least something. Sydney surprised me by reaching out and lightly running her finger over a strand of my hair.
You're so pretty, she whispered. I wish I was you.
A flood of emotion threatened to overtake me as I hugged her. You are me, in so many ways. We both have similar personalities, sarcastic and brave. And you look like I did as a kid, only you're much prettier than I was.
You think I'm pretty?
I think you're beautiful. But trust me when I say being attractive on the outside might get you places, but it doesn't make you special without having a good solid core. I held my hand to her chest. Inside here. This is what makes you count.
What if I don't have anything left inside here? She asked, placing her hand over her heart as well. Then what do I do?
Everything that makes you who you are is still there, but it's just under a layer of sadness. I see your light trying to shine through. I know you want to be happy again, but I think maybe you feel guilty, like you aren't allowed to be happy because your mom and dad aren't here to enjoy it. A tear slipped down her cheek as she nodded. But you know that's not what they would want, right? They'd want you to live and smile and be happy. They always only wanted the best for you. And that's what Grams and Gramps are trying to give you, Sid. Nothing we can do will bring them back, but there's a lot you can do to keep them alive inside here. Sydney silently tapped her fingers on mine, seemingly contemplating my words, before saying,
My mom was going to take me to one of Jake's concerts this summer. Just us girls.
She said we'd fly to any city I wanted to go to. That should have been her with me tonight. Oh, I had no idea how to respond to her. Something soothing or maybe insightful would have been ideal, but that had never been me. I thought with my emotions, not my brain. Your mom was so awesome. Sydney immediately broke down, covering her face to silently weep. Crap, that was such a stupid thing to say. It only served to make her miss her mom more. Now it was me stroking her hair. I cry for your mom and dad every day, too. Did you know that? I miss them so much that sometimes I can't breathe. That's how I feel, too, Sid said. And mad. Yep, me too. So mad that they had to die. For what? A text? If that lady had just looked up from her damn phone, they'd all still be alive. I'm so mad I want to hurt people. Is that why you're so hard on Grams and Gramps? I guess. Someday everyone is going to stop loving me because I'm so mean. Tears splashed down her face faster than I could wipe them away. I pulled her head to my chest and held her tight. That's never going to happen. You're way too loved. But I'll admit, I feel the same way sometimes. You do? Sydney sat up, wiping her face in her sheets. She was now fully vested in our conversation. I was aware that Riley was asleep in the bunk below and that, if he woke, I'd be in for a long night. But it would all be worth it if I could get this little girl to open up. I'm scared that my sadness is going to push Jake away. I don't want him to get tired of me and decide to leave. To my surprise, Sydney reached out her hand and placed it on my cheek. She had temporarily forgotten her own misery to tend to mine, and that's when I knew my sweet niece was still in there, buried deep under all the rubble. He won't leave you. Why do you think that? Because he loves you. Like we love you? I asked. She nodded, but I sensed that she wasn't convinced. Nothing you do will ever stop us from loving you, Sid. We might get frustrated or angry with you, but that's not the same thing. We're family, girl. We stick together. Then why are you afraid Jake will leave? He's family, too. That was a damn good question. Why was I always doubting his loyalty when he'd done nothing to deserve it? You're right. I'm not giving him any credit. Just like you're not giving us any. We're a pair, aren't we? Sydney nodded her agreement. You and me, we need to stop acting like Eeyore and be more like Pooh. Huh? She said, looking perplexed. Winnie the Pooh? Recognition dawned on her face. Oh, I've never seen it. Seriously? What were they teaching these kids nowadays? Eeyore is all doomsday and Pooh is sunshine. Which one would you rather be? Eeyore, she answered, suppressing a smile. The correct answer is Pooh, I tickled her, and we both giggled. So what do you say? Shall we both give positivity a try? She shrugged. I don't really have anything else to do. True, I said, laughing at her apathy. I know it feels weird to have fun when your mom and dad can't be part of it, but I know they would want you to smile again and be goofy. So let's make it our mission to be crazy fun at least once every day while you're here. Like this? She rolled her eyes up in her head and sucked her cheeks in. Ah, yes, the fish face. Nice start, girl. I high-fived my smiling niece and silently cheered my first victory. Jake came in a couple hours later, and I placed my finger over my lips to let him know he needed to be quiet. He nodded as he slid into place beside me on the couch and draped his arm over my shoulder. What happened? He whispered. Kyle told me Sydney started crying. Is she okay? I tucked both knees under me and sat up straighter, excited to tell him about the breakthrough I'd had with Sid. As I rattled on and on, Jake listened intently, nodding and smiling at the right moments. Finally, when I stopped to breathe, he leaned in and planted his lips on mine. That's awesome, Case. I haven't seen you this happy in a long time. I am. I just feel like I really connected with her. Like maybe I can help her get to a place where she doesn't want to cry 24 hours a day.
And maybe she'll do the same for you.
I nodded, although I was wondering whether she already had. I now had a mission more important than myself, and it felt good.
Oh, and just a heads up. I think Sid might have a crush on you, so keep the strolls through the bus in your underwear to a minimum.
I'll do my best to refrain from public nudity.
Thank you. And I have to say, you don't seem all that surprised that she's crushing on you.
Because I already knew that.
You did?
Yeah, she's always mean to me. That's how crushes work at that age. You'd know that if you hadn't been a card-carrying tomboy growing up.
Hey, this tomboy had crushes. Lucky for you, I threw the athletic shorts and jerseys away long ago. I'm all woman now, I said, pushing my bosom into him to prove my point. His hands went straight from my breasts like a moth to the flame.
If I promise to be really quiet, he said, his voice so low I had to strain to hear. Do you think we can get it on?
I stood up and held out my hand. I think that can be arranged. We tiptoed past the bunk bed and confirmed two sets of eyes were soundly closed before sneaking into the bedroom.
Lock the door, I said as I crawled quietly onto the bed. And Jake, I'm not just talking once. Check that damn lock no less than 3 times, then tiptoe your ass over here. But don't forget to keep your mouth shut along the way.
Jesus, that's a lot of instructions to remember.
If you can't recall 3 simple steps, then you don't deserve to have sex.
Easy, woman, he said, placating me with his hands. I didn't say I couldn't remember them. I was just pointing out the excessive number of demands. And might I add, this is almost as hot as the sex talks we had prior to our baby-making sessions.
I promise this will be hotter. Jake formed his fingers into a V for victory and headed straight for the bed before stopping himself and turning back around to check the lock.
Only checked it twice, he whispered.
Get over here, I laughed, as Jake crawled onto the bed, grabbed my hips, and slid me along the bed until I was snugly wedged between his legs, his erection pressing firmly against me. I wiggled a little against him, watching for his reaction. His eyes blazed as he stared down at me with an insatiable longing. Unable to keep my hands off him, I ran my nails up his abdomen, causing the band of muscles in his stomach to swell and contract with a seductive shiver. I thrust my hips into his hardness, frenzied with desire for him. Our clothes still in place, Jake pushed repeatedly against my dampening mound, sending darts of pleasure rushing through me and drawing a loud moan from my lips. Our eyes widened instantaneously as we remembered our house guests on the other side of the wall. Jake dropped down over me and covered my mouth with his hand, and we both stared at each other in amusement.
"Shh,"
he said, breathing roughly, as his free hand found its way between my legs, and he began applying liberal pressure to the area. I bit down into his hand to suppress the moans that rattled in my throat as my thrusting hips made contact with his increasingly quick movements. And then suddenly he removed his enchanted hand, causing an intense throbbing right down to my core.
"Easy," he whispered, placing 2 fingers on my lips. "I want this to go on forever. I've missed you so much, Casey."
Before I could reply, his soft lips were over mine and our mouths moved in the most sensual dance. Jake's tongue pushed forward, teasing my lips apart. Grabbing his strong jawline, I held him steady as my own tongue pressed and stroked against his. When he drew back, we were both panting and our eyes were glazed over in lust. Jake slowly trailed his fingers downward, past my jaw, gliding smoothly along my throat and into the crevice of my breasts. His mouth then pressed into the cloth, dampening it, as his tongue circled my pebbled nipples. I heaved my bosom, welcoming his tender lapping. Jake sat back up and, grasping my waist, pulled me into him once more. His hands were now on my stomach, riding my shirt up as he glided across my sensitive skin. After pulling my top up and over my head, Jake took both breasts in his appreciative hands. I was wearing a fairly standard-issue bra, but he seemed unbelievably riveted by the sight of my full, upthrust breasts, although I suspect his excitement had more to do with the fact that I was heaving them upward due to all the heavy breathing I'd been doing. Jake gently began massaging my hardened nipples through the silk, running his thumbs in little circles over them as he dipped his head down to my arched neck, slicking his tongue along its length and sending delicious heat radiating outward. My nails rode up his back, forcing a soft groan that reverberated through the hollows of his throat. Acutely aware of the amount of clothing we were still wearing, I pulled Jake's shirt over his back before sucking his lower lip into my mouth and continuing on with a duel of feverish kisses. Our bodies writhed with a labored impatience. It had been a long time since either of us had felt such intense cravings. Jake placed his arms on either side of my head, and he hovered over my body, staring at me with a hunger that raged through his cloudy eyes.
"You're the sexiest thing I've ever seen," Jake said, sounding gravelly with desire.
He gripped the waistband of my jeans and unbuttoned me, and I lifted my rump to aid in the removal. His fingers tickled over my bare flesh, sending goosebumps across my skin. I couldn't get him close enough.
"I need you," I breathed out slowly, reached for his throbbing length.
Jake lowered his jeans just enough to free himself from the fabric, and his hardness pressed forward. In one fluid motion, I opened to him, wrapping my legs around his waist as he sank into me. The bed moved to the rhythm of his slow and methodical thrusts, my hands grasping his buttocks as I brought him down harder. Jake's fingers circled my nipples, tightening them to his touch. I curved my back upward, stretching my shoulders back, and thrust my chest against his constantly moving body. Reaching behind me, under the flow of my hair, Jake deftly released the clasp of my bra and dipped his head to swirl his tongue in a tantalizing tease over my taut, prickled skin. I clutched his head with both hands, running my fingers through his damp brown hair. A warm, delicious feeling of pleasure began coiling deep inside me. We moved with more intensity now, both letting go of the tension that had gripped our lives for too long. Why had I deprived myself of his love? No more. Tightening my legs around him, I rode his storm all the way to the euphoric end. There was a renewed closeness between Jake and me after that night. We were like newlyweds again, sneaking in butt pats, neck nibbles, and near-consecutive late-night romps after the kids fell asleep. There was no more talk about babies and ovulation. Having the kids with us changed my mindset. Of course, I still wanted a baby, but I was no longer going to force it. I had plenty of time to be a mom. But right now, what I wanted was to be a committed aunt, a loving wife, and a ravenous lover. Jake was fully on board with the change in my demeanor. There was a playfulness to him that I hadn't seen in a long while. For the first time, I really understood how much my sadness had been dragging him down. When the angst had been on the other foot, and it was I who watched him suffer, I'd felt that heaviness too. But as we'd moved past the struggles, the sun began to shine again. That's what I had to do now. This past week had convinced me that I needed to lift the layer of fog that was clouding my heart and begin the arduous task of living life without my brother and his wife. It wouldn't be easy. I missed Miles and Darcy every day, but just as I'd said to Sydney the first night she arrived, they wouldn't want us to waste our lives away crying for them. The only way to truly honor Miles and Darcy's memories was to keep moving forward, to keep living the life they'd want for us. Contentedly watching Sydney and Riley laughing and splashing around in the hotel pool, I looked up to the sky. "Do you see?" I whispered. "They're okay." I hoped Miles was looking down on his babies with a smile on his face, knowing that they were loved and cared for, that Mom and Dad were doing right by them, and that Jake, Luke, and I would make sure his kids were afforded every opportunity life had to offer. Sydney and Riley were the bright, beautiful legacies my brother and his wife had left behind, and as a collective group, we'd see to it that they shone just as brightly without them as they had with. It might take time and patience, but it would happen. These kids would live their lives to the fullest. That would be how we honored their memories, not by crying or wasting our lives away, pining for what was no longer here. We would live big, laugh loud, and love hard. As we rolled down another interstate, I longed for the comfort of the hotel. These extended stretches of driving were tough on the kids. They got bored easily, and without a play structure to swing on or a pool to swim in, their excess energy was directed at us. Even off the bus, I was constantly trying to come up with fun new experiences. Sometimes I scored, and other times I crashed and burned. It really was a learning curve, and only through trial and error had I figured out what was and was not fun for them. For instance, informational stops where there was no climbing involved, not fun. Parks, fun, but only if they didn't have baby playground equipment. Nature reserves, not fun. At least not without a functioning bathroom nearby. I only needed to clean poop out of one pair of pants to figure that out. The only surefire way of keeping the kids happy and entertained, I discovered, was if Jake or Kyle were around. Or better yet, if they were both present at the same time. For whatever reason, the guys were always way more fun than I was. They were like the fun dads who swooped in after the work was done and sucked up all the glory. It was with those awesome fellas that I'd left the kids while I was in the bedroom working out some numbers for a client. An hour later, I re-emerged to find the fun dads sprawled out on the brown leather sofas looking as if they'd just run a marathon instead of spending an hour in the confines of a bus with two little kids. The TV was on and a princess movie was playing. Clearly Sydney had won whatever battle had happened in my absence. And I was sure there had been one, since Jake would never willingly submit himself to such torture. The one time I'd convinced him to watch a princess movie, a live-action version of Cinderella, he'd grabbed a bottle of whiskey and took a pull every time someone said, "True love." Needless to say, he was drunk by the end of the movie. Since Riley appeared to have the anti-princess gene as well, he was entertaining himself by climbing all over the lethargic guys. He was currently straddling the top of Jake's head.
"Do you know what personal space means, Rye?"
he asked, trying to dislodge my nephew. "No," Riley giggled as he shifted positions, a Twizzler stick protruding from his mouth.
"I didn't think so. Let me explain the meaning to you. It's when you allow the person you are annoying a small buffer of space. In this case, I'd settle for 6 inches.
"I don't know what you said."
"Which part?"
"None of it," Riley said, poking his finger in Jake's ear. "How come your ear is so big?" Jake swatted his hand away.
"I don't know. I wasn't aware that it was. Hey, I have a good idea. Why don't you play with Kyle? He doesn't care about giving people personal space either. Do you, Kyle?"
"Nope," he said, grinning, as he chomped on his own Twizzler.
Jake extracted Riley and dumped him onto his brother. And like a flea clomping onto a new host, Riley immediately latched onto Kyle, refusing to let him go.
"Hey, you have big ears too," he said, poking his finger into Kyle's ear canal.
"Get your finger out of my ear hole."
Now Riley was examining his face up close and personal.
"And don't even think about sticking that finger of yours in my nose hole."
Sydney broke from the movie to comment on Kyle's word choices.
"Does everything have a hole with you?"
"Anything that's important does, yeah."
Grinning like a fool, Sydney observed Kyle with starry eyes. I was pretty sure her crush on Jake had jumped over to him. She absolutely loved having Kyle around, so he began accompanying us on any outings that required security. That arrangement not only made the kids happy, but Kyle as well. Turning Kyle's face toward him once more, Riley said,
"Your nose is big, too." "Only because you're 7. If you were normal-sized, it would look smaller." "Really, Kyle?"
Jake questioned, his brows raised in amusement.
"Is that how it works?" "Do you see Riley questioning my explanation? No. Not like your whole personal space speech. You've got to get down on their level, bro."
Riley was now busy prying Kyle's mouth open when I noticed him holding something.
"What's that in your hand?" I asked.
"My tooth," Riley said, totally unconcerned. Jake and Kyle both bolted upright as I hurried over to check his mouth. Sure enough, there was a big gaping hole where his tooth used to be, and droplets of blood on Kyle's shirt.
"You didn't even tell me one was loose," I said.
"It just got loose when I was eating the Twizzler, so I yanked it out." Jake and I both startled at the information.
"Didn't it hurt?" I asked.
"Nope. They're just baby teeth. And I get money when the tooth fairy comes."
"I love this kid,"
Kyle said, nodding his approval.
"He's a trippy little dude."
I stretched my hand out for the tooth and set it in a plastic bag. I wasn't sure what the protocol was for baby teeth, but I figured it was best to keep it until further notice. Once I'd cleaned Riley up, I plopped down next to Jake, who had taken to watching the movie. Look at you all into the movie, I teased, patting his thigh. Jake's eyes rolled up as his tongue lolled out.
You cannot tell me that there isn't another woman in the entire kingdom who has her same shoe size.
That's what you have a problem with? I laughed, poking him in the side like Riley had been doing earlier. Not the mice who turn into horses or the pumpkin that turns into a carriage?
I'm just saying, Casey, if you were a slovenly maiden, which, let's be honest, you sometimes are.
He smiled mischievously, flinching away in anticipation of the smack he both expected and deserved.
And then suddenly you put on a ball gown and did your hair up all fancy and shit. I'd still be able to tell it was you.
It's a fantasy, Jake. It isn't meant to be psychoanalyzed. And watch your language around the kids.
Sorry, guys. I meant shucks.
I could already hear Riley mimicking Jake's fancy and shit in a faint whisper and knew it would be resurfacing sometime in the near future. Sydney was no longer focused on the movie, but on Jake's lively retelling of it.
My point is, that prince is totally shallow. If he loved her that much after one dance, he would have been able to pick her out of a crowd without a damn shoe.
Jake, I reprimanded again.
Damn it. I mean, darn it. Not swearing is really hard,
he sighed.
Anyway, listen up, Sydney. A guy like that is not worth your time.
A cartoon prince? She asked, confused.
Well, no, not him specifically. I'm talking the living, breathing kind. Those kinds should like you even in a pair of chucks. Wow, Jake,
Kyle said sarcastically.
Such a beautiful sentiment. Can you do better? Yeah, actually I can. Sydney, don't ever date a douche. 6 words. Bam!
He made his fist explode to compliment his advice.
Kyle, I scolded. Language? Sorry, I meant boom.
That's not... I began before stopping myself. These guys were hopeless, and I refused to be their mom.
Oh, whatever. You're looking at swearing all wrong. Think of dirty words more like sentence enhancers, Kyle said.
You two are 24 and 25, respectively. I feel like there are less offensive ways of getting your points across.
Well, you'd think,
Jake said, sounding every bit like the troublemaker he was, before grabbing me around the waist and knocking me sideways on the couch. He was on me in a second, blowing raspberries into my collarbone. I squealed, wriggling my way out of his hold, but just as I was about to right myself, the kids, having watched our display in anticipation, took the opportunity to dogpile on top of us. We were already screaming when Kyle dropped into our love circle. The noise level only escalated from that point on as we screeched with laughter. From the front of the bus, Lassen opened the partition and hollered,
"Shut the hell up!"
And without skipping a beat, we all yelled in unison, "Language!"
Chapter 17. The Rookie. We woke up the next morning to uncontrollable crying. Riley, Casey and I shot out of bed just as he was entering the room with Sydney's arm draped over his shoulder.
"Sweetie, what's wrong?"
Casey asked, dropping to her knees and checking his body for injuries. Wiping at the tears with the palm of his hands, he sniffled,
"She didn't come."
"Who didn't come?"
"The Tooth Fairy."
It felt like I'd taken a punch to the nuts. I forgot the fucking Tooth Fairy. I had one job last night, just one, and it was to not forget to put money under Riley's pillow. Epic, goddamn fail. Casey and I traded horrified glances, each trying to blame the other for dropping the ball. Her eyes were all accusation and mine all contempt. Sure, I forgot, but it was Casey's fault for trusting me with such an important job in the first place. Trying to figure a way to make this right, I rumpled Riley's hair and said, "Dude, it's probably there. You just didn't look hard enough." Casey flashed me her most hopeful face, as if she thought maybe I hadn't just ruined this boy's faith in fictional fairies forever. Hell, I might as well just out Santa Claus while I'm at it. The grim shake of my head put an end to her optimism. Not only had I forgotten the Tooth Fairy, but I was also lying out my teeth to a 7-year-old boy. "Nope," Sid said, her disappointment in us evident with every subsequent word she spoke.
We pulled the sheets off. No money, no note, no nothing.
The Tooth Fairy hates me.
Riley collapsed to the floor, sobbing.
No, no, sweetheart. She loves you.
The kindness Casey spoke was reserved exclusively for Riley. I got nothing but angry eyes and a scornful mouth, miming the word money.
It's still early, she explained to him. Maybe the Tooth Fairy was just delayed. Why don't we go to the bathroom and get cleaned up? Then we'll look up her phone number, okay?
Riley looked between us, his sad eyes devoid of trust. But because he had no other choice, he sucked up his snot and followed Casey to the bathroom. Once the two had disappeared, I felt another scornful gaze burrowing into me.
Really, Rockstar? Sydney said, planting her hand on her hip. You can't spare a dollar bill?
That's not the issue. I just forgot.
Who forgets the Tooth Fairy? You lose a tooth, you get the money. It's not difficult.
Yeah, Sid, I get the concept, I said, grabbing for my wallet and hastily opening it up. Shit, I only had 50s and 100s. Go snag me Casey's purse from the front room, I demanded of my niece, sweat now dampening my forehead. Sydney took off in the opposite direction as I searched the drawers for loose change. She came back panting.
I can't find it.
You can't find the purse? I blurted out, a little more aggressively than I would have liked.
Hey, don't shoot the messenger.
Okay, sorry. Do you have any money?
I'm 10.
Right, I've got to think. Then it hit me. Lassen. He'd have change. But just as I was about to run to the front of the bus, I heard Casey call out a warning loud enough for me to hear.
Let's go see if the Tooth Fairy made it here yet.
Shit, I whisper swore. Sydney's eyes widened as she slapped her hands over her mouth and started jumping up and down. Damn, she dealt with stress worse than me. Out of options, I grabbed a 50 out of my wallet and slid it under his pillow just as the bathroom door swung open and Riley ran for his bed. Sid squeaked and buried her head in my stomach. Gripped with anxiety, Casey rushed to my side.
Please tell me you took care of it.
Oh, he took care of it, all right,
Sydney said, finding great amusement in our shared trials. We heard Riley gasp, and then a sudden whoop of happiness.
No way! He yelled. A $50 bill!
Casey gaped at me.
You can't give him $50, Jake. The going rate for a tooth is one.
Yeah, well, you could have given me a couple more minutes to secure the ransom. Casey might not have been thrilled by the dollar amount, but one person sure was. Riley was thoroughly delighted by the generosity of the tour bus Tooth Fairy, and he let his happiness soar, shouting to the heavens as he kissed his $50 bill.
I love you, Tooth Fairy, he proclaimed. And I'm sorry I called you a diarrhea head.
See, I said to Casey, he's happy. Disaster averted. Sid nodded her head in agreement.
I'm knocking my tooth out tonight.
Although I had proven my lack of trustworthiness with the Tooth Fairy incident, people kept giving me more chances to screw up. And when I said people, I meant Casey. She seemed to have more faith in me than I was worth. The kids had been with us nearly 3 weeks, and during that time, Casey had taken on the vast majority of childcare. She'd been wearing thin from daily outings with Sydney and Riley, working her freelance job, and making sure the kids were emotionally secure, all while I continued on with my normal routine. Occasionally, I joined her and the kids, but more often than not, I had commitments that needed tending to. She understood that, and it wasn't an issue. Until I had a day off. Then I was fair game, and there was nowhere to hide. Take today, for example. Casey had a deadline looming, and while I'd been hanging out with the kids, the three of us had been engaged in parallel play, me on my keyboard and them with their toys, apparently that wasn't enough.
I have to finish this by tonight, and honestly, I need a little break.
Yeah, sure, we'll play some video games.
No,
she said abruptly, the word bursting from her mouth aggressively. My eyes expanded in response. Seeing my surprise, Casey tried for a calmer approach, but I'm not going to lie, it still came out like a youth football coach barking orders out to all his pint-sized players.
Video games are noisy and someone always gets mad. Usually it's you. No, what I want is for you to take them away, far, far away, for just a few hours.
Oh, do you mean like, outside? By myself? Without you?
Yes, Jake, that's what I mean.
She wanted them and me gone. It was a fairly straightforward demand. Take the kids away for a few hours or die a long and brutal death. Okay, so maybe it wasn't that dramatic, but I wasn't keen to find out just how far she'd go to secure a little freedom. After all, Casey was looking especially disheveled and fidgety. Just the fact that it was noon and she still hadn't changed out of her pajamas or brushed her hair was indication enough that, if I balked at her request, shit was going down. When Casey had the whole Medusa thing going on, I listened. No sense in needlessly turning to stone. Besides, she'd committed me to the task before even asking. Refusing was not an option. The only question now was how much effort she'd require me to put in. Okay, I said. Where am I supposed to take them?
I don't know. I just Google fun things to do with kids in the area, she said, distracted. You can do this, can't you?
No, I was pretty sure I couldn't. In fact, I was fairly convinced that I was nowhere near competent enough to go out on my own with two kids, and I was about to confess that to Casey until I caught sight of her eyes. They were blazing hot, as if she were preparing for my stoning. Maybe messing with her right now would not be the best choice. No, I could most likely do this. It was just for a few hours. Besides, they were two little kids. How hard could they possibly be? Sure, babe, no problem, I said as an idea, a really goddamn good idea, popped into my head. Kyle. I'll get my brother to come with me, and we'll take them somewhere. Kyle can't go. He's picking up Kenzie at the airport today. Ah, shit. I wanted to stomp my feet and complain, but I was entirely too old for that behavior to be cute anymore. There was no way around it. I was going out by myself with the kids. Today was going to suck balls. With no options left, it was time to be a man. Placing my hand on her shoulder, I bent down to kiss her cheek. No worries. I'll take care of everything. You go get some work done and I'll wrangle up the herd.
Thank you. You're a lifesaver. Can you shut the door behind you?
And then there was just me and them in the wide open world. Did anyone else see a problem with that? If there was a guy less qualified to babysit kids than I was, I'd like to meet the hapless dude. I mean, I was a decent playmate to Sydney and Riley, and had become a reluctant slave to their every want and need, but that didn't mean I could be trusted to keep them safely by my side in a public place. From my position, plastered up against the bedroom door, I watched the two kids lying on their stomachs on the floor of the bus, happily watching YouTube videos together. They looked so sweet and innocent, but I knew better. These moments of peace were actually just them fully charging up their batteries so they could then use their stored energy against me later. Sydney, sensing my presence, held up her empty plastic bowl and without even bothering to make eye contact, asked, "Can I get some more berries, please?" Pushing away from the safety of my bedroom door, I walked over and grabbed her bowl. After filling it with some more berries, I handed it back to her. She thanked me, but again, no eye contact.
"Can I get some more berries too, please?"
Riley asked, not taking his hands or eyes off the screen. Instead of handing his bowl to me, he just kicked it over. I picked it up off the floor and filled it with berries too.
"Oh, and Jake?" Sydney called out. "Crackers too."
Irritated, I grasped the kitchen counter, attempting to hold my tongue. Who did they think I was, their personal servant? I didn't see any obvious injuries that might prevent them from getting to their own feet and preparing something tasty. I walked back and handed the berries to Riley. Sydney turned and raised a brow at me.
"Did you forget my crackers?"
"Nope," I said defiantly. "I'm just not going to get them for you."
"Really?"
she asked, intrigued by my rebellion. "Really, Sid? I'm not your snack, bitch. Get them yourself." I now had both kids' undivided attention, and once they saw the smile on my face, they understood I was kidding. The two dissolved into hysterical laughter. At least my swearing had their attention, and what Casey didn't know wouldn't hurt her. It was time to get this show on the road. With the clap of my hands and the boom of my voice, I announced, "Who wants to go on an adventure with me today?" Riley jumped from the floor in an instant and flung himself at me. I caught him mid-flight. I took that as a yes. Sydney was more practical in her response. "Just you?" she asked, sounding every bit as skeptical as I felt. "It looks that way." "You sure that's a good idea?" "No," I laughed. "It's not a good idea at all. But I don't have a choice, so what do you say?" A wide smile broke out across her face as she eyed me with a splash of mischief. "Heck yeah, I want to go. This ought to be good."
"Yeah, yeah, triple yeah!"
Riley sang out, obsessively repeating the same phrase until Sid covered his mouth with her hand. "I wouldn't get too excited, Rye. He's probably just taking us to some boring baby park." It was obvious by her tone that Sydney had no faith in my abilities, but she underestimated me. I was no ordinary snack bitch. No, I was a goddamn rock star, and if I couldn't bring the fun, no one could. "No, Sid, not a boring baby park," I mimicked her condescending attitude. "We'll go wherever you guys want to go." So that was my first mistake. I was such a rookie. Who let me off the bench in the first place? The only positive that came from my blunder was that I learned a valuable parenting lesson. Never let kids be part of the decision-making process when it came to outings, because if you did, they'd choose Chuck E. Cheese every single time. Mistake number two was requiring my niece and nephew to be clean and presentable. Unbeknownst to me, with kids this age, some assistance and assembly was required. Had I known what a production number it would become, I would have dragged two little snot monsters around all day and been happier for it. Sydney refused my help, proclaiming she could manage the task on her own. But Riley, oh, Riley, he was like three kids in one. The boy stood in the bathroom for 5 minutes just waiting for me to come in and turn the water on. He didn't even bother to call me. He just waited there in the bathroom naked, driving his matchbox car all over the basin. Had I not popped my head in to see if he was done, he might have stood there all day. And once he finally did manage to shower, Riley needed help with everything. I had to towel dry his hair and brush his teeth and help him into his clothes and tie his shoes, all while he played. I had no idea what kids their ages should be capable of, but I was fairly convinced that Riley was just playing me so he didn't have to do any of the work. My third mistake was inviting Lassen to come along. I knocked on his partition. "Lassen?" He opened immediately like he was engaged in a game of peekaboo and let out a quick, jolting growl. "Oh, shit," I jumped back.
"Sorry, I thought you were the kids," he grumbled.
"That's how you greet them?" I asked in surprise.
"What do you want, Jake? I'm busy."
"Since we both have the day off, I was thinking we could hang out, go to lunch or something." Instinctively, I knew adding the kids into the equation would not go over well, so I chose to leave out that valuable piece of information. So, too, did I understand that any mention of Chuck E. Cheese's would be viewed like the petri dish of death for a germaphobe like Lassen, so I omitted that too. At this point, my information was given out strictly on a need-to-know basis.
"All right, sure," he replied. "That sounds fun."
If he only knew just how much fun he was about to have. I went back to check on the kids' progress. Sydney was wearing purple sweats and an orange t-shirt with the saying, "The cool kid just showed up." I had a good laugh at that before deeming her ready to go. Riley had switched the shirt I just dressed him in, and the neon yellow one he was now wearing was inside out, but once I corrected it, I was happy with my colorful troops. Mistake number four was having the kids say goodbye to Casey. "Are you serious?" she asked me, just the hint of a smile on her face.
"What?"
"Jake, they can't go out like that. Sydney doesn't even match."
"She doesn't?"
"No. You can't put purple and orange together, and look at her hair. She needs to comb it at least. And Riley, is that your pajama top? Wait, does he have shampoo in his hair?"
"I don't know."
"What do you mean you don't know? You didn't help him shower?"
"No. Was I supposed to?"
"Well, he has shampoo in his hair, so yeah, you probably needed to help him." Casey got up from her table and shooed the kids back into the bathroom. A few minutes later, they came back looking clean and color-coordinated. I wasn't sure what kind of black magic she'd employed, but I wanted some of it. With a sly smile, Casey grabbed my face in her hand and kissed my lips.
You're funny. It's a wonder you make it out the door every day on your own.
I know. It's a flippin' miracle, I agreed, happy to see her less stressed.
Thank you for doing this for me. I really appreciate it.
Casey then leaned in and whispered,
I'll make it up to you later.
I grinned. I'm going to Chuck E. Cheese's for you, so yeah, you'd better.
Chuck E. Cheese's?
She gasped, as if I just told her I was taking them for a spin on an alien spacecraft. In hindsight, maybe that would have been easier.
By yourself?
No, I'm bringing Lassen and Vadim, just in case Chucky gets handsy. Casey shook her head uncertainly.
When I said take them out for a few hours, I assumed you'd start small, like a park or something. Chuck E. Cheese's is like the big leagues, Jake. Are you sure you know what you're getting yourself into?
I shrugged. How hard could it be? I'll be fine. Get your work done and take a nap. We're going to have a great time. I announced the last sentence loud enough for the kids to hear. They yelled their approval. Moments later, Lassen crawled out of his hole. Since the kids' arrival, he'd been hiding out in the front of the bus as much as possible. He let me know every chance he got how unhappy he was with the current living arrangement, and I'd let him know that I didn't care what he thought. Lassen was spoiled. He'd had it good for too long. It was time for him to pay his dues. My driver stopped dead in his tracks when he saw the kids' excited faces. Lassen's eyes immediately found mine, and they narrowed to angry little slits. Just wait until he figured out where we were going. Those slits would be pointed missiles. You ready? I asked in a high-pitched and overly excited voice. The kids ate it up, running and screaming out of the bus. Casually, I walked past Lassen, purposely avoiding the eye daggers he was shooting at me. You coming? With a loud, exaggerated huff, Lassen stomped off the bus. I had hoped to surprise my disgruntled driver with our mystery destination, but Riley was enthusiastically belting out a song of his own creation, appropriately titled, I Can't Wait to Get to Chuck E. Cheese. Interestingly enough, he just repeated the chorus over and over. I was going to have to work with him a bit on his songwriting skills. The scowl on Lassen's face had not eased one bit the entire car ride. Maybe I thought he'd gradually accept his fate, but by the looks of it, he was going to hate me for a very long time. After pulling into the parking lot, he leaned over and whispered a threat for my ears only. I won't forget this. Walking into the establishment, I immediately understood what Casey meant by calling it the Big Leagues. This place was teeming not only with sugared-up kids, but wildly frustrated adults as well. I glanced at Lassen, who was already holding his hands over his ears. I had to agree, the sound level in Chuck E. Cheese's was unlike anything I'd experienced before, and I was used to music blasting in my ears on a near daily basis. It was an odd mix of screaming kids, pop music, pinging and binging of hundreds of machines, and the sounds of Happy Birthday being sung every few minutes by Chucky and friends. I grabbed Lassen by the arm to move him along. He'd gone into some freaky survival mode, complete with glazed-over eyes and emotional detachment. It was like the lights were on, but nobody was home. You all right there, bud? I asked, patting his back. I'm going to need you to snap out of this because you and I are about to divide and conquer. Which one do you want, Sydney or Riley?
I want to go home.
That's not one of your options. If you don't choose, I'll pick one for you. Sydney and Riley had two totally different approaches to enjoying their day. Sid wanted tickets, lots of tickets. Apparently her strategy was to hoard as many as possible so that she then could trade them in for a toy, which in the end would cost four times what it would have at Target. Riley didn't give a rat's ass about the tickets. He was all about the games, and this particular place seemed to have hundreds of them to choose from. The minute I stepped foot in the establishment, I knew keeping both kids happy was not possible without a tag-team approach, and that's why I was now giving Lassen the option.
Sydney,
he mumbled. That's the spirit, I said, grinning. Lassen spent the next hour or so following Sydney around and mindlessly supplying her with endless amounts of tokens. It had been a wise choice, indeed, because there was no way my friend could have survived the more physically demanding activities Riley was choosing, like Dance Dance Revolution and the Human Hamster Wheel.